Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tianlu, coming up in this edition. The UN is calling for an investigation following reports of the discovery of over 300 dead Palestinians in what are described as mass graves in Gaza. Medical professors in South Korea are set to resign as protests drag on over an increase in medical student quotas. And the Shenzhou 18 taikonauts are getting ready for Thursday's liftoff to China's Tiangong space station. We begin with the Gaza conflict. The UN human rights body has expressed horror at the discovery of hundreds of bodies from what are being described as mass graves in Gaza. The High Commissioner for Human Rights is calling for an investigation into the graves in and around hospitals in the Palestinian enclave. Ravina Shamdasani from the Office of the Human Rights Chief described the scene and said the investigation team should be diverse. Jody Jacobs reports from New York.
The UN's Human Rights Office says the ongoing fighting in Gaza has caused unspeakable suffering. It says the fighting continues to cause widespread misery, starvation and disease. But it's the disturbing reports, the Human Rights Office says, that continue to emerge about mass graves in Gaza that has them concerned. Hundreds of bodies were recovered over the weekend at the Nasser Hospital in central Gaza and at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City in the north.
Victims had reportedly been buried deep in the ground and covered with waste. Among the deceased were allegedly older people, women, and wounded, while others were found tied with their hands. They were found with their hands tied and stripped of their clothes. In relation to Al-Shifa, reports suggest that there were 30 Palestinian bodies buried in two graves in the courtyard of Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City.
In a statement released on Tuesday, the Human Rights Office has decried the ongoing violence, saying the intentional killing of civilians is a war crime. The UN has called for an independent and transparent investigation into the deaths.
Given the prevailing climate of impunity, this should include international investigators. Hospitals are entitled to very special protection under international humanitarian law. And let's be clear, the intentional killing of civilians, detainees, and others who are hors de combat is a war crime. The High Commissioner has said that the unspeakable suffering brought by the fighting, alongside the resulting misery and destruction, starvation and disease, and the risk of wider conflict, must end once and for all.
Search operations, we are told, continued on Tuesday, with search and rescue teams recovering at least 17 more bodies. In a statement released by the Israeli army on Tuesday, it says the claim that it buried Palestinian bodies was baseless and unfounded.
That was Jody Jacobs in New York. In North America, the first witness in Donald Trump's hush money trial has testified that he used his supermarket tabloid to spread stories that might have hurt the former president's 2016 presidential bid. The publisher told a New York court that the tabloid paid two people for stories of Trump's sexual encounters but never published them. John Terrett reports from near the courthouse.
The start of day two of the criminal trial proper was delayed, and that is because before the trial got underway, the judge imposed a gag order on former President Trump, preventing him from attacking anybody on social media, with the exception of the judge and the prosecutor. And on Tuesday morning, the prosecution stepped up and said there have been 10 violations of that gag order, attracting with them a $1,000 fine each and possible jail term. And in the course of the morning, the judge told the Trump lawyers, "You're losing credit over these tweets." Trump lawyers said he has the right to defend himself. And even while the judge was mulling his decision on the gag order possible violations, former President Trump used Truth Social, the social media platform, to complain about the gag order against him. Once the trial did get underway proper, David Pecker resumed giving evidence. He's the former editor of the tabloid newspaper magazine The National Enquirer. Now, you can only buy that in supermarket aisles here in America, and it deals in very very sensational stories. The prosecution alleged that Pecker and Trump and the lawyer involved in this, Michael Cohen, were three men in a room who were plotting to buy up all the bad news stories about President Trump in the run-up to the 2016 election and then suppress them, including that of an alleged affair with an adult film star, Stormy Daniels. Now, the Trump team is going to say that doing that is not a crime, that actually that's part of democracy. The court will not sit on Wednesday. It'll resume on Thursday.
John Terrett on Donald Trump's hegemony trial. In Europe, five people, including a child, have drowned while trying to cross to the UK from France. The incident follows a late-night parliamentary shutdown where UK lawmakers passed a bill allowing the deportation of illegal migrants to Rwanda. Our correspondent Li Jianhua has more.
Another tragedy in the English Channel. 110 migrants were said to have been crowded onto a small boat. The latest deadly accident among several each year. This time, five people, including a child, lost their lives.
The question is that motion A be agreed to. As many as are of that opinion will say content. Yes. Contrary, not content. The contents have it.
It came after the UK Parliament passed the Rwanda Bill, following months of debate between the upper and lower houses. The British government will now be able to enact one of its flagship promises and send some asylum seekers to the African nation.
Rwanda has a strong history of providing protection to those that need it and currently hosts over 135,000 refugees and asylum seekers who have found safety and sanctuary there.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak says flights to Rwanda will take off within 10 to 12 weeks. He declined to give full details on the number of people to be deported, instead referring to what he called a regular rhythm of flights each month through the summer and beyond. The bill has received much international criticism. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, said it marks a further step away from the UK's long tradition of providing refuge to those in need, in breach of the Refugee Convention. Stopping the arrival of small migrant boats has been a key promise of Rishi Sunak's administration. The government says the Rwanda Bill will act as a deterrent to stop migrants from making perilous sea crossings. The latest official figures show the number of illegal crossings increased by 24% in the first 4 months of the year. The main opposition Labour Party has called the policy a desperate election gimmick, citing what it says are excessive and unjustifiable costs for British taxpayers.
That was Li Jianhua reporting. Turning to Asia, in South Korea, the healthcare system has come under strain since February over a government decision to increase the number of medical students. Thousands of trainee doctors have walked out of their jobs. Medical professors have said they will resign too. From Seoul, here's Shane Ham with more details.
Medical professors at major university hospitals in South Korea will begin submitting their resignations this week. This comes in protest of the government's plan to reform the nation's healthcare system. A special committee representing nearly two dozen university hospitals announced on Tuesday that they will begin accepting resignations from professors and take one day off from work starting next week. In a separate move earlier in the day, other hospitals like Seoul National University Hospital announced that they will also go ahead with a plan for professors to submit their resignations. Now, hospitals and doctors are stretched the limit here in South Korea as the protest continues to drag on now into a third month. Scheduled appointments and even surgeries are having to be put off after nearly 12,000 trainee doctors walked off the job in late February. Some hospitals are even reporting having to cancel outpatient services. The government, on the other hand, is steadfast on its plan to increase the number of doctors annually, saying it is necessary to fill gaps in rural areas and other essential fields. Now, the ball is in the court of the doctors, according to the government, saying they need to come back to the negotiating table. The deadline to submit annual quota submissions for next year is fast approaching at the end of this month. Now, both sides do agree that some sort of reform is necessary. Doctors, however, argue that it's not just a matter of increasing the number of doctors, but rather working conditions need to improve and investments need to be better spent. In the meantime, patients are the ones having to suffer, not knowing whether they'll be able to receive the care that they need the next time they pay a visit to the hospital.
That was Shane Ham in South Korea. China is targeting Thursday evening for the launch of its Shenzhou 18 manned mission to the Tiangong Space Station. Among the tasks for taikonauts Ye Guangfu, Li Cong, and Li Guangsu is experimenting with an aquatic ecosystem in orbit. The crew is taking fish and algae into space. China's manned space agency says the astronauts will also conduct space walks and handle cargo deliveries during their six-month stay. Commander Ye Guangfu of the Shenzhou 18 mission was part of Shenzhou 13 that launched in 2021. Compared with his last mission in space, China's space station has since upgraded from one module to three and entered a new phase of application and development. Ye says he's ready to take on new challenges with his fellow crew members.
Right now, the China Space Station for me is a very new assembly because it's three models and three ships. You could see that it's more complex and with more a difficult operations. As a commander, this time also with our two newcomers, so we should also work together as a team and also coordinate the space station and the ground systems. All these are challenges to me. Having said that, in face of these challenges, the crew, my two teammates, and the whole system, we prepared a lot and with full confidence to complete the mission successfully.
With more about the young crew, Zheng Yibing reports from the launch site in northwestern China.
We're so happy to see them, particularly our old friend, Mr. Ye Guangfu, who participated in the Shenzhou 13 mission back in the year 2021. He stayed in space for half a year. And after my observation to Shenzhou mission crew from Shenzhou 13 to now, I want to choose three key words to describe my impression about them. They are vitality, team spirit, and passion. Vitality is because the Shenzhou 18 crew members are perhaps the youngest among all we have known. They were all born in the 1980s. The commander Ye Guangfu was born in 1980. Li Cong was born in 1989. And Li Guangsu was born in 1987. They are the energetic combination of the second and third cohorts of Chinese astronauts or taikonauts. Well, team spirit, I choose this word, is because Li Cong, well, during the press conference, he said, during the training and exercises in the past 3 years, they knew each other very well. And even just a glimpse at each other, they would know what they would do for the missions of maintenance of the space station or other tasks.
We had a lot of similarities in terms of age, background, but also we share the same mission. And we are one of the members to build and develop our China space station. So we are also a community. We carry out the same mission and same glory. This is a huge system in terms of space station that also requires us to have a very smooth chemicals among the members of the crew, and we should carry out the mission successfully and accurately.
I choose the word passion is because they share the same dream to fly into space and explore the universe. I was impressed by the third astronaut Li Guangsu said during the press conference about his dream to fly at about 7.9 kilometers per second in space. That's almost the speed of the Long March 2F Kara rocket for this mission.
I look forward to my 6 months in space. I am very happy to be able to fly to space for my country. The relay baton of China's space mission is in our hands. The mission is an honor for us, and we feel the responsibility on our shoulders. We'll inherit and carry forward the spirit of China's manned space missions, enhance the sense of responsibility, and continue to strive. We must perform this mission well and achieve new milestones in China's space career in the new era.
The three taikonauts are getting ready for that mission, and the flight combination, particularly the Long March 2F carrier rocket, is beginning the process of refueling. So let's wait and see what the Shenzhou 18 mission and what the three crew members would do in space.
That was Zheng Yibing on China's upcoming manned space mission, the Shenzhou 18. Recapping today's headlines, the UN has called for an investigation following reports of the discovery of over 300 dead Palestinians in what are described as mass graves in Gaza. Medical professors in South Korea are set to resign as protests drag on over an increase in medical student quotas. And the Shenzhou 18 Taiknauts are getting ready for Thursday's liftoff to China's Tiangong space station. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tianlu. Thank you for listening.